You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're going to take a quick glimpse at the Bears at the bye week, and we're going to hear from a handful of Chicago Bears coaches. Quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone will share his observations on Mitchell Trubisky and his quick one-game massive development, and kind of share his perspective on what exactly happened on Sunday and how this young quarterback has grown. We'll also hear from outside linebackers coach Brandon Staley, who gives his sort of amazement at Khalil Mack, and also assesses some of the progress Leonard Floyd has made thus far this season. And we'll wrap up with Matt Nagy talking about the importance of the bye week, the timing of the bye week, and we'll look at how the Bears can self-scout a little bit here as they gear up for the rest of the season. Let's start with the quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, who was the only offensive holdover from the previous coaching staff, Mitchell Trubisky's quarterback coach, one of the top guys in charge of getting this young quarterback ready to go each week, you know, accelerating his development, and a person who I think would have the almost the best perspective of anyone of what happened on Sunday. Mr. Ragone met with the media this week, and I think it's interesting if we take a listen into his comments here, and then we'll step back and kind of break down what he said.
What impressed you most about Mitch's performance yesterday?
You know, I said this to him after. It was his sideline demeanor. Regardless if we had just come off and scored a touchdown or we had just, had a third three and out, he came out and his intensity, his focus, his eagerness to want to know what's coming up next, I thought that was as consistent and as good as it's been in his 16 starts. And it's obviously something he and I have been talking about, and he took it to the game, and it continued all throughout that game, regardless of what the score was or what had just happened the previous series. And that's obviously it's mental growth with him, and that was a big thing for him.
You mentioned 16 starts. Are we at the point now where we can talk about him as maybe not a rookie? I mean, it seems to be the magic number.
Yeah, I don't talk to him in terms of that. For us and for him specifically, each game's a new experience. When you're a quarterback in the National Football League, you get to see a lot of different defenses through a lot of different defensive coordinators and how they want to attack you. He's starting to get a feel how he thinks defenses want to play him. But that grows with each game. At the end of the day, you know, you look at the really, really good quarterbacks in this league, they play a very long time. They have a Rolodex, and they have equity built up in what they've seen out there. And that's each time he goes out there, each play he makes or does not make, it's about building equity and figuring out, hey, I can make that play better, or I can do this differently, or I like what I did. And we're growing with that each and every time he goes out there. And again, when outcomes are great, it's easy to pat on the back, but I think obviously you learn a lot more sometimes when the outcome isn't what you want. He's done a good job of moving on with that.
So, Dave, for your guys' process through the first three games leading up to yesterday, how has it been for you as a position coach helping him get comfortable with everything he's got to do in the offense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is a quarterback-driven offense in which from the day that Coach Nagy came here and installed it to the coaches and then to the players, there's a lot of ownership within each position group, especially the quarterback, and that's great if you're a player to have that. I think for me, the first four games, I understand the outcome and everything that happened yesterday. But for the first three games, there was a lot of great learning that happened. And fortunately, in a couple of those, we were able to win those. And maybe it wasn't the stat line performance that we all wanted or that we hoped for. But at the end of the day, with him, more importantly, we want him to grow and not just mentally, but physically. And he took steps in some of those games that don't show up on the stat line. And that's something that we talk about amongst the staff or within the quarterback room. And there's things that we always say that we want to improve on, and he's taking those steps. And obviously there's a culmination that happened with the game yesterday. But for me, it was more about the first three games and growing. And we can continue to do that, which, you know, obviously we're pushing Mitchell as well as the other quarterbacks to do, and they're pushing him, you know, with 12 more regular season games and for him to learn from, and who knows after that. But the most important thing is for him to take this game and the previous three, going into bye, marking down exactly what he's done well and what the things we need to improve on, and then take the practice field when we get back there next week and use that as motivation and a stepping stone for him.
So I think quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone there brings up a great point about just the importance of this bye week for a quarterback like Mitchell Trubisky, that he's able to finally have a little bit of extra time to kind of step back and be able to self-assess a little bit more. You know, going through the first 4 weeks of the season, he's kind of got to, you know, after the game on Sunday, watch over the tape on Monday or whatever, and you can kind of pick up some little things, but by Tuesday, Wednesday, you got to start looking at your next opponent and got to start game planning and all this stuff. And you wonder how much of an opportunity the quarterback himself really has to go back through every little detail of everything he's done. And he can kind of do that now after these four games. And I think, you know, having that big successful performance at the end to kind of cap it off certainly helps the confidence. But I think Ragone's onto something there, that those first three games are where you're going to see Mitch potentially spend most of his attention here, because those were, you know, steps forward that we saw. You know, Green Bay, the pocket presence was horrible. And, you know, we saw him be able to stand in there a little bit more confidently against Seattle. And then, you know, against Arizona, maybe the blitz was a little bit more effective than you would have liked to see, but he was starting to hone down his mechanics a little bit more on some throws and not missing as many, particularly, you know, as that game went on. And, you know, they were starting to move the ball a little bit easier between the 20s when they're outside of the scripted plays. You are seeing these steps, you are seeing that growth, and you are seeing that learning. And I think I'm going to be really curious to see what, if anything, changes or improves or looks particularly different coming out of the bye week this year. You know, I think back to last year, they didn't necessarily have that great start coming out of the bye week. It was, you know, they had just lost a close one to the Saints when Zach Miller got hurt, and then they came out with Packers-Lions, you know, with Brett Hundley in that game, and you were looking for the Bears to take that step. Well, it didn't happen for the team as a whole, but we did see Trubisky throw for almost 300 yards against the Packers in that game, and one touchdown to no interceptions that first game after the bye week. And then the Lions the week after that was another consistent, if not as over-the-top performance. So we've seen him have some individual success coming out of the bye week, and now, in theory, he has the coaching staff to help him take much better advantage of this extra free time. If you've got some extra free time this weekend with no Bears game on TV, obviously, then why don't you make your Sunday a little more interesting with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has been in the sports betting business for years. They've got great reviews online, and when you're betting, who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we recommend MyBookie.ag. I know there's no Bears game lines to bet on, but you can bet on the odds for the NFC North Division, for example. The Bears are actually behind in odds to the Green Bay Packers, who are still the odds-on favorite. It's the Bears and the Vikings tied for second in these odds. So if you like those odds for the Bears to win the NFC North, check out mybookie.ag. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you first sign up. That's LOCKEDON. There's NFC division odds, Super Bowl odds, MVP odds, even just AFC and NFC championship odds. So many different ways to play at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we'll hear from outside linebackers coach Brandon Staley on Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd. Keep it locked on Locked On Bears. As we take our first look at the Bears entering the bye week, we just heard from quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone talking about the growth of Mitchell Trubisky, and we kind of break down how this bye week could be important for taking that next step and building off of what we saw on Sunday. And I think this Bears defense will need to be doing something similar. They can't just ride the success they've had and expect it to continue if they don't constantly keep trying to improve. That's been the mentality of Khalil Mack since he got to this team, and it's no surprise his outside linebackers coach, Brandon Staley, has just been blown away by his new star pass rusher.
He's on pace for 16 strip sacks, obviously. We're always expecting to keep that up, but what makes him so special in that regard?
I think that from the moment he got there, you just knew that his goal isn't just to beat the man. It's to go get the ball. He's got the innate ability to see the football on his way to the quarterback. He almost got, you know, when Leonard tipped the ball yesterday in pass coverage, Khalil almost got the ricochet. You could see his eyes going there. And, you know, that's exactly the way he practices. We show our guys all the time in practice the way he is in one-on-one pass rush or in a team drill. You can see him always attacking the football. And it's just a part of his DNA, and it's something that's made our defense even that much better.
When you say calm is contagious, who else have you seen get calm this season?
I just think, just in our outside linebacker room, he's just a steady guy on the field, you know, in drills, in between series, you know, whether it's a practice or a game. And I think that affects people in a positive way. I think that, you know, he has so much confidence in himself. I think that it can't help but spread to his teammates that, hey, you know, this is going to turn out okay. Or like in the Arizona game, hey, we didn't get off to a great start. But one of the beautiful moments about that game was, you know, he kind of got the defense together after that second, you know, touchdown off the sudden change and, you know, got everybody together. And it just, I think it got everybody a sense of calm. And then we went out there and played the way we could, you know, and that we're capable of playing. And I think he had a lot to do with that. You know, him, Danny, Akeem, you know, those guys kind of got, you know, the guys together. And then that kind of led to us finishing out that first half. And then obviously we went on that great run in the second half.
Brandon, Leonard Floyd hasn't shown up in the sack statistics yet, but has he done other things to increase his value to the defense?
Yeah, we've loved the way he's played against the run. You know, been outstanding in pass coverage like he always is. I think his execution of our rush games has been really good. I think yesterday you'll see on the tape that there were three or four instances of him and really executing our pass rush game plan well. But when you don't have the full use of your hand, I mean, he's got the club off and all that, but, you know, his hand is still, you know, it wasn't that long ago he was in surgery. So I think that once he gets the full strength of his hand back, that's going to help him in one-on-one pass rush situations. But we've been very pleased with the way he's played.
Is there a chance he could, after the bye, have full strength, or is that still going to linger around?
I think it's still going to be some time. You know, I mean, it's been, you know, about a month, you know, a little bit over. But, you know, it's just going to be a, you know, week-to-week thing.
You mentioned Leonard's run defense. What specifically has kind of allowed him to, whether it's setting the edge or just being kind of, what are some of the things you're liking from what he's doing?
I think he's really, really certain about where he fits within our scheme, and he understands the technique, even more importantly, of the way he needs to play. And then understanding our opponents, I think year three in the NFL, just having been exposed to so many different offenses, knowing his matchups, I think that's allowed him to play more aggressively and impact our run defense in a real positive way.
I appreciate outside linebackers coach Brandon Staley there kind of peeling back the curtain and revealing just his kind of excitement and how impressed he's been with Khalil Mack. Because it's one thing for us to watch it on TV. It's another thing for him to watch it every day in practice and see how he acts around his teammates and how he carries himself in the film room. I mean, just, you cannot say enough about this star pass rusher. But we've also had plenty to say about Leonard Floyd on this Locked On Bears podcast, particularly his ineffectiveness when rushing the passer this season, and clearly the hand injury, as much as it continues to improve, it still is limiting for Leonard Floyd, and it sounds like it's still going to limit Leonard Floyd, and, you know, that's reasonable, right? I mean, you shouldn't expect this guy to be at his best while injured, but I guess what I keep coming back to is his injury history that, you know, rookie year, 12 games. Sophomore year, 10 games. And now year three, he's played all four, but the injury thing keeps coming back with him. And I don't hold that against him as a person and as a, you know, as a football player, but from the business side of the NFL and, you know, needing production out of your investments, and you need a healthy Leonard Floyd, and we still haven't gotten to see that, and it's limited him as a pass rusher. I think he's been fine in run defense, kind of like Staley had talked about, and it was a good point talking about some of the things with setting up stunts and maybe being the guy that has to just occupy blockers to free up other people. I think that's something we have seen some of. It's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's an overwhelmingly common thing. The Bears just don't run stunts in a lot of particular, you know, twists and different blitz packages that involve a lot of Leonard Floyd. So, you know, I think a lot of that is just purely the injury thing and a development thing that way. But, you know, we are seeing a more consistent Floyd in run defense. And I come back to the confidence that they talked about, kind of knowing the scheme a little bit more, that maybe in years past he hasn't been able to be as physical and aggressive because he wasn't, you know, as just spotlessly sure of his role and where he needs to be at all times. But we're seeing him clearly, I think, a lot more comfortable at that outside linebacker position. And I think that's why we've seen Vic Fangio feel more comfortable dropping Floyd back into coverage a little bit more, that he, you know, he knows this scheme a lot better and is more comfortable in the system, so you can put more things on Floyd's plate. And I think the more snaps in coverage has also partially limited his ability to produce as a pass rusher, in the sense that he gets fewer pass rushing opportunities, but still on a per pass rush basis, he is not producing pressures and hits, and certainly not sacks on the quarterback at the rate we have seen from him in years past. But we are seeing a noticeable bump in coverage snaps. Just for comparison's sake, four games this year, he has dropped back 27 times, including 10 last week against the Buccaneers and 10 in week one against the Packers. So 27 times in four games this year. Last year, it was 69 times in 10 games. So on a per game basis, it's not that different. I think some quick math is like, I think it's 6.75 a game this year as compared to 6.9 per game last year. So per game, slightly less, but you're seeing Floyd play significantly fewer snaps per game this year. He's played about 68% of the total snaps so far as compared to 89% of the total snaps in the game he was in, so playing about 20% less. And so from a snap percentage standpoint, he has dropped back into coverage about 16.5% of the time as opposed to 12% over the last two seasons each. So about a 4.5% increase in coverage snaps. It's not huge, and, you know, versus Seattle and Arizona, it wasn't something he did a ton of, but you're seeing Fangio feel more comfortable putting Floyd in perhaps that more difficult outside linebacker, you know, role, having to do, you know, more different things than a guy like Khalil Mack, who just rushes the passer and stops the run for the most part. So, you know, I try not to pile on Floyd too much. I think it's still disappointing from a durability standpoint, and just from a what kind of expected production you want out of your 2016 top 10 pick. But it is, you know, it's some of it's out of his control at this point, and he is showing a lot of positives along the way. It's just not necessarily exactly what we'd want to see, and maybe this bye week can be good for him to get healthy and eventually get back out there and really add that next level to this Bears defense. I know it's almost hard to imagine what this Bears defense at a higher level could be, but I don't know. We might still see it at some point this season. If you want to get out and see it in person in the stands at Soldier Field, then you need to get your tickets with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an easy-to-use online event ticket marketplace. They've got Bears tickets, they've got concert tickets, shows, you name it. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any type of live event with great prices and an easy purchasing experience. I've got the Vivid Seats app on my phone. I'm looking at it right now. Patriots at Bears, the next Bears home game, is actually the most expensive game left on the schedule in terms of tickets, starting at about $281, and then the next is $302. So, you know, maybe you wait till Halloween weekend. Jets at Bears, starting at $105 apiece. We can get you an even better deal thanks to our partnership with Vivid Seats. If you download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll receive $20 off your first order of $200 or more. So you grab a pair of tickets for you and the spouse, get down to Soldier Field, enjoy the game. You'll get an extra $20 off thanks to Vivid Seats and Locked On Bears. Just use that promo code Locked On. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears, because up next, we'll get the head coach's perspective on what this bye week will offer for the team and why he's giving them the whole week off here before they come back after the weekend to really gear up for the Miami Dolphins. That's next on Locked On Bears. We're kicking off our bye week Bears coverage here on Locked On Bears by tuning into what some of the coaches have been saying this week. We've already heard from quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone and outside linebackers coach Brandon Staley. And now let's go to the head man, the one in charge, the one who decided to give this Bears team the week off so they can really gear up for the rest of the year. He kind of offered up his reasoning behind it and what he's hoping to see this team accomplish from their time off.
How will you use the bye week to kind of evaluate your own progress?
So, as a team, we'll self-scout. We'll see what we're doing, if there's some tendencies where we're at with that. Every team will do that. But matter of fact, we just came back from a meeting as an offensive staff, and we're talking through the logistics of how we can get better Monday through Friday as a staff, and how do we organizationally get better within communication of how, well, let's fix this, let's do that, let's get this done by 6 o'clock at night instead of 9 o'clock at night. Little things that no one thinks of, that's what we're doing right now too, being our first year. This isn't just about the offense or the defense. This is about us as a staff. And so we're going to do everything we possibly can to help everybody in this organization. And that's one way during this bye week that we'll try to clean that stuff. Does a certain coach have too many responsibilities? Is he doing too much and it's taken away from him being a good coach? So just little things.
The thought behind giving them the entire week off as opposed to practicing, say, Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And was any of this kind of, in a fun way, contingent on winning?
Zero. None of it had to do with winning or losing. This is what we were going to do from the start. It's something that I've taken with me from what we've done in the past in Philadelphia and in Kansas City. Coach Reed's had a hell of a record coming after bye weeks, and there's been, it doesn't mean that you win every time coming off of a bye, but there is a method to the madness. And I think the biggest thing with this is that it's okay. You want to give your coaches and your players a breather, and you have enough trust in them to understand that they're professionals and they need to take care of themselves. And it's important for some in so many different areas. And I feel like sometimes you can overdo it, and you can just try to squeeze every little ounce of time that you're allowed or permitted with these guys. And in my opinion, I think it's just better to just let them have their time, regroup, understand that this is a long stretch here. So if we're going to get an opportunity to take a breather and re-energize, now is a great time to do it, and for coaches and players.
Yesterday, Trey Burton said that he thought the bye week was coming at a bad time because there is so much momentum surrounding this football team. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, what he's getting to is the fact of it's similar to what you see sometimes in the playoffs when a team gets on a roll and things are going well. Then they and all of a sudden now they have a bye, and they get that bye, and then they come back the following week in the playoffs, and then they're just not the same, and you see that happen. That's what I think he's getting to. He also went through it a little bit in Philadelphia where they hit a nice little run and then came back and hit a lull. Me personally, I'm okay with where this fits. We've prepared for it. We understand that for us, like I mentioned the other day, you know, we had a long preseason. And this is actually like middle of the season for us right now. So our guys are, it's a good time for them. mentally, it's crazy how it works. If you lose a game, because I've been on both sides, if you lose a game going into the bye week, it's almost like you lose two games in a row because you got to sit on that loss for next week. If you win a game, it's like you're winning two games in a row because you won the other day, and now you feel like, you know, you have that confidence and you feel good about that following week. So that's how we need to look at it. And then the other thing is, you got to keep the horse blinders on, and you cannot let any of the noise affect who we are as a team. So I say the same thing if we were 1-3. It's a long year. We need to understand that, you know, we control what we control, and one game at a time mentality. Don't get too high. Do not think that you're a playoff team. Do not think that you're a team that can just go out in the field and win because you're 3-1 and you're Chicago Bears. That's not true. We need to understand that every game we need to bring our best, and there's too much there. That was a rare game yesterday to win by, you know, 38 points. There's too much parity in this league, and we need to have, as a young team, we need to have the mentality of one game at a time.
As Matt Nagy said, a lot of the bye week is about self-evaluation and trying to, you know, build off of what you've already done and continue to make yourself a better football team. So when I look over this Bears roster, there's a couple ways I think they can try and self-scout a little bit and try and just clean up in a couple areas. I think the big one here that we've talked a little bit before on this podcast is just trying to break their own tendencies. There's certain things offensively that they do that can kind of indicate a little bit to the opposing defense what might be coming. You know, when Trey Burton lines up at a receiver position, the Bears pass 80%+ of the time. When Allen Robinson lines up in the slot instead of on the outside, the Bears pass like 90% of the time. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know I've glanced at the PFF data on that in the past, and I know it's at least 80 and 90% for those two types of situations. Whereas a lot of times when you see them bring in, you know, three tight ends, if they're lined up on the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a run the majority of the time. And, you know, when Jordan Howard's in the game, they've been a little bit more run heavy, and there's just little player personnel tendencies like that that can be just an indicator to the defense to at least, you know, it's not going to have them be right all the time, but if it can give them an extra step, you know, it's a disadvantage for your own team that you can clean up when you're able to kind of go back and identify these types of things. I also think just from a pure running game perspective, you can identify where Jordan Howard has had success and where he has struggled. And particularly, I look from a running concept and a blocking concept standpoint. Jordan Howard has had a lot of his best runs on the inside zone runs that he's kind of used to. He is a much better zone runner than a gap scheme runner, where you have, you know, in zone running, you have all the blockers working in the same direction, and he just kind of has to read them off of that, find his gap, make that one cut and go. And he's averaging over 4 yards per carry on those inside zone runs. But where he has struggled is, you know, at times with the power and the pulling guards, and especially when they do the outside play where the guards pull out in front, he really hasn't had much success trying to get to that outside. And so when you run him on the inside, you want to be able to spread it out a little bit more, get guys out of the box, then hand the ball off. Instead, with Howard, it's been a lot of hand it off to loaded boxes and try and get him outside where there isn't room for him to go. Just little things like that offensively that I'd like to see the Bears try and clean up. And defensively, I mean, they don't have a lot. I mean, what can you really point to and say, well, they need to get better at this? It, you know, maybe a little bit more coverage diversity, which I think we saw against Tampa Bay. So it's hard to point to anything else. I mean, they, you know, sometimes you want a few individual players to step up. You know, Floyd, like we had talked about, maybe Jonathan Bullard has been a little bit disappointing. And as we go later in the week here, we will take a bigger picture evaluation at who on this roster has played well and hasn't through the first four games of the season. But it's just been at times individual mistakes, but it's nothing holistically that I can sit here and point at and say, well, the Bears defense needs to get better at that. They just need to keep doing what they're doing. Obviously, don't get complacent and continue to throw new things at opposing offenses and find new ways to allow Khalil Mack to just terrorize opponents. Now, before we totally wrap up here, I want to take a second and thank everybody who's been joining the Locked On Bears Facebook group. We got a big wave of people joining in after the last podcast. Got some nice Bears talk going on. Getting a stronger and stronger group of Bears fans joining in the conversation on Facebook, commenting on posts, sharing their Bears fandom and their excitement for this team. And it's really been a great way to connect and join in on the Bears talk. We posted in some observations left over on the All 22 from yesterday's podcast. I didn't make it in the show, so plenty of reasons to join up. Just go on Facebook, search Locked On Bears group, or just find the Locked On Bears Facebook page, because there's a button on there that will take you right to the group, and I'll make sure you're not a bot trying to spam us and approve you in the group and join in the conversation. You can also join in on this podcast right here by using the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. We had a question from someone about what Matt Nagy had kind of talked about after the game, and so I wanted to make sure we got some of that in here on the podcast today, but still trying to focus in on this bye week and looking forward here. But the more texts and voicemails you send in, maybe we can throw together a mailbag podcast as this week and next week goes on before we get ready for the Miami Dolphins and kick off some Bears football again. You know, even when it's not on television, I hope Locked On Bears just makes it that much easier to bear down.